I'm really happy to be chatting with you today, Betty, because my research is about sexual and gender minority groups or diverse individuals, and many of us who do this work have done a lot of work regarding the safety of young people in school settings and typically in K-12 environments. But very little has been done about educators, whether they're educators in the K-12 setting or educators in the post-secondary environment or educators who would like to travel to another part of the world to teach whatever it is that they are experts in. So that's what I was hoping to talk with you about today, is a recent edition of a special journal that talks about the plight of educators who identify as sexual or gender minority individuals.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about the journal first.
Yeah, so the journal is called the Canadian Journal of Education Administration and Policy. Mm-hmm. It's out of the University of Manitoba. And I was invited by my colleague called Dr. Robert Mitzi, who's also an assistant professor there at the University of Manitoba, to co-edit with him. So we both worked together just beautifully, and it was a great collaboration on this project. And he was invited by his superiors, people who normally run this journal, to do something different. They said, Robert, do something different. And he said, Tanya, what can we do? And I said, let's do this. And so we talked about teachers rather than youth. And so when I say teacher, I would like it to be broadened notion of not just teacher that we think of in the K-12 setting, but educators. If we use the word educator, then we can then see educator in a larger setting, so the post-secondary environment. Mm-hmm. Educators who go into non-governmental organizations in other parts of the world who are educating about all kinds of things. So really education in the broadest sense of the term.
So you've edited the entire edition of this journal. Mm-hmm. And you've actually also done a piece within the journal.
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about that piece?
Sure. So my piece is called Doctrinal Disciplining of Queer Educators in Canadian Catholic Schools. This is my area of expertise. It's where I do my research. Typically, I do speak about young people and their plight. So young people who identify as lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, or queer. Mm-hmm. And now I'm looking at teachers. Unfortunately, it's not a positive story. Those who identify as sexual or gender diverse in Catholic schools in Canada are not doing well. So it's not an up with people kind of story. It's sort of like, oh dear, you know, these people are not doing well. They often have to quit their jobs, or they're ousted out in some really awful way from the Catholic school system. So there's no data on this. So mine is really breaking ground in that sense. Because typically when people are, if you can imagine yourself in that situation, all of a sudden realizing on a Friday afternoon that that's it, you're not going to be working at this school board anymore because you've contravened Catholic doctrine by having a same-sex partner or by having a legal marriage, which of course is legal in this country, but you'd never know that in a Catholic school. So that would be really, it's a really jarring experience. And so people typically, they, you know, regroup, they think, okay, where am I going to find work? I don't have a job all of a sudden. And it's really rare to have the wherewithal to mount a legal challenge, and so very few people have done that. In fact, no one has, so that's why we don't have any data of legal court cases related to teachers being fired for this purpose. There are some interesting journalistic pieces of people who have been fired, like a gay man fired from his Catholic school board. There's some of that, but there's very little. And so when people want to talk about this, they don't have actual factual data to refer to it.
Well, it sounds as though nobody's really shown a spotlight on this
before
your work.
Yeah, the typical response is like, so what? Like, kind of like, well, why do those people even go teach in a Catholic school? I get that a lot. It's just like, I find that really not a very open-minded way of looking at this question because, you know, lesbian and gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer individuals come from all walks of life. Many of them come from faith-based environments. Many of them are very much enamored with their faith and would like to continue working in that faithful environment, whether it's Catholic school, Jewish school, Muslim school, whatever it is. So they should feel comfortable to work in that environment. And there's no reason why they shouldn't. But people say, well, if they don't want that kind of discrimination, they should go work in a public school where there's no Catholic teachings or whatever. And that's not acceptable.
And I guess the question I would have is, you know, the suggestion that somebody move over to a public school, is there a difference in the situation in public schools? Were you looking specifically at Catholic schools, or did you also look at the public school system?
No, I looked specifically at Catholic schools because there's no data on the Catholic schools. So there's a lot of data on public schools. And when I say that, I mean, like, so that's... Catholic schools are also public schools. They receive public funds. A lot of people don't realize that. So
right.
In Canada, we have Catholic schools that are publicly funded in Ontario, Alberta, and Saskatchewan. So what's different about the public schools is that they don't have this kind of homophobic or transphobic policy or the doctrine is not infused into the policy of those public schools. You can still experience homophobia and transphobia in a public school, especially dependent on the leaders. And that's why it's so important for this journal, because this is talking about educational leaders, so policymakers, administrators. So you can be in a public school and be identified as LGBTQ, but you can still experience a lot of homophobia or transphobia, sure, depending on who's running that school. Mm-hmm. It could be somebody who is just not on the board with diversity and gender diversity, and embracing diversity and celebrating it. In fact, that person could be like, nope, don't like that particular kind of diversity, don't like that one, so let's make sure that we stamp that out. That can happen in a public school as well. So I'm not saying that this is only happening in Catholic schools. What's different about the Catholic school is that it's inculcated right in the policy of the school. So you'll see that in policy and in curriculum in Catholic schools, where you won't see that so overtly in a public school.
And tell me a little bit about some of the other pieces that we'll see in this journal.
Okay, well, there's seven articles. Mm-hmm. A really exciting one is called, well, they're all exciting, but one's called Meantime, A Personal Narrative of a Trans Teacher. We don't have that kind of document available. We don't have it anywhere, so this is brand new. I also interviewed that trans teacher for my studies, and so he was able to talk about his experiences. Again, they're not positive, so it's not an easy read. Then we have another one looking at, right here from our own colleague right here at the University of Calgary and the Worthland School of Education, Kayla Jubas. She's looking at the disappearing rhetoric of LGBTQ rights in post-secondary international texts, and that's a really interesting read. It's very well written. And then we have another one from Robert Mitzi, who's my co-editor of the piece, and he wrote Sexualities on the Move, a comparison of the work experiences of gay male educators teaching overseas.
Oh, that sounds interesting.
Very interesting. He's got two studies that he's looking at, comparing both of them, both studies that he conducted himself, and he's also comparing them. So very fascinating. Mm-hmm. Another one, the last two are from an international context. One is from Mitsunori Misawa of the University of Memphis, and he's looking at The Color of the Rainbow Path, an examination of intersection of racist and homophobic bullying in U.S. higher education. So he's looking at intersectionality of racism and homophobia. And really interesting data there, because any kind of research that you see about LGBTQ people, typically it's about young people, but very little on educators. And if they are about educators, it's typically white people that we can draw as participants. Mm-hmm. So it's wonderful to have that piece of gay males of color. So that's interesting. The last one is also from Australia, Workplace Experiences of Australian Lesbian and Gay Teachers, Findings from a National Study. So very fascinating work.
It's interesting. Something that you said that struck me was, you said, it's not an easy story to tell and it's not pretty, mm-hmm. but it sounds like it's an important one and one that does need to be told, and people do need to read it.
I hope so, yeah. I'm hoping they will read it, and it's open access. Anyone in the world can read it. So you don't have to have, registration at a university library in order to get it, so anyone can read it.
So if we provide a link.
Oh, that'd be great if you did it.